All right. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well this morning. How was the chicken pot pie this morning? Good stuff. I heard a praise the Lord on that. That must be good stuff. Philip, that's praise the Lord stuff right there, wherever you're at. All right. So last week, Thanksgiving. Who was here last week? We had a good time, man. We celebrated Thanksgiving a little bit after as a family, fried chicken last week, all the fixings. But we talked about in Ephesians, where we landed in our study, was about being thankful. If you remember, he said, giving thanks always and for everything. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who's still thankful? We don't have to just be thankful on Thanksgiving week, right? Where's Brantley? Brantley? Philip is thankful for being alive. That's good. I thought about your dad. When we sit together to have a meal, it's been too long. The Mr. Ben Paget, and he, by the way, he is such a supporter of our church. They have a church, but he gives monthly and always an encouraging letter. I always appreciate that. So, Mr. Ben, if you're watching. But we would sit down and have a blessing, and it was a simple blessing, but I love it, right? He would sit down and he'd say, guys, who's thankful? And we would say, I'm thankful. And then he would say, are you thankful for each other, right? Yes. Thankful for this food, yes. Amen. That was it. But that's such a beautiful way to look at things, right? It is easy to be thankful for all that we are blessed with. Speaking of thankful, I'm thankful for Evangel Homeschool. They're here this morning. Serve. Yeah, y'all give them a clap. Thankful for Miss Rebecca for leading and organizing that and reaching out to us about that. Other groups, if you're watching online or you listen later, you are more than welcome to come out and join us. Always, always love that. Well, this week, I want to get into the Word, but I've got to throw somebody under the bus real quick. There's my wife. Hey, Jamie. I'm not throwing her under the bus. I know better than that. But I will throw Charlie Vifquin under the bus in a heartbeat. I tried and tried to get him to teach this week, and he found out what passage we're talking about. And he said, I'll teach next week. You teach this. So next week you get Charlie. But this week, and I'll tell you why, I'm going ahead and spoiler alert, this is why Charlie wouldn't teach. So Laura, if you're listening, this is why. Today's passage is going to start with wives, submit to your husbands. And Charlie's like, Keith, you go ahead. You got this one. So he is such a servant to let me speak today. There's very little truth to that, except Charlie will be teaching next week, I must confess. But let's read today's passage, and then we'll talk just a little bit. I do want to say this. I want to preface before I read this passage. I believe one of the misquoted, most misinterpreted, and out-of-context verses in all of Scripture could be found right here where we read today. So if you're interested to see, well, how do you think it's out of context, hang to the end, and we'll get there, okay? So I want to just start in Ephesians 5:22, and we're going to read through verse 33. And believe it or not, we're getting close to the end. Chapter 6 is the last chapter in Ephesians, so it's been quite a journey, but man, we have had fun with this study. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Anybody want to just stop there and say amen and we'll walk out? Like, guys, no, we don't want to do that, right? It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. You pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you again for new friends that have been out this morning. We thank you for old friends that have gathered. We thank you for family that is here this morning and just being able to gather together and celebrate and thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, one of which being this family, this idea that we're able to come together, be the church. I was talking with one of our guests and we're just telling our story and how we believe that church is not somewhere we go. It's something we are. It's the people. It's never been about the brick and mortar of a building. It's about the flesh and bone of people, that we are family. And Jesus, we believe you are the head of this church. And so we follow you. We want to hear from you this morning, Jesus. We want to hear from your spirit, Father, tenderness, love, and care, all of the things, God, that you are so good at. We pray that you speak to our heart this morning. Encourage us, challenge us, convict us any way you see fit in this place. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this passage starts, wives, submit to your husbands. Man, don't you love how Paul is just, he's gone through this letter, right? He's riled up the readers and they're at this place and he gets to this place where he says, be thankful in everything and all things. And then he drops this little, now wives, submit to your husbands. Right, just like he's going to pass it on through. And that's what it could feel like. It kind of feels out of left field if you look at this, but this very misunderstood and very misinterpreted passage, all kidding aside from just going from Thanksgiving to that, I want to take you back just a second. I want to remind you of the verses that we were in last week. So yes, he does say, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he doesn't go just from that to wives submit to your husband. Listen to what he says. Remember it from last week. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want to remind you, we, for the benefit of study, reference, all of this, can point out, well, that's chapter 5, verse 21. When Paul wrote the letter to the church of Ephesus, he had no idea of chapters and verses. That was done way later. He's writing this long letter to the church of Ephesus, and then to the church of Christ to be passed around, right? And so he's writing them, and he's in this free flow kind of thought. There is no, well, this is going to cap verse 21 and head into this nicely. He's speaking of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. If you weren't here last week, guest, I know you weren't here, but if you're one of our regulars, you weren't here last week, I want to remind you how we kind of capped that off. Of what kind of place this would look like, no matter if you're here and you get a meal, I'm not talking about that, but instead of just the mindset of us all, of what can I get out of today? And I mean that from somebody that maybe even didn't have a plate this morning. You say, well, what can Pastor Keith, what can he feed me this morning? What can Jesse, when he leads worship, what can that feed me? Or what can the fellowship, what can I give today? And I'm not talking about money. If you've been here for 5 years, you've seen we have never, and we won't, we've never passed a plate around. Anybody ever been to a church that didn't ask for your money? But God still is faithful. We're still able to provide. We still pay all our bills that we have. Nobody on your church staff is paid. Nobody takes a dime. This is all volunteer. It's all a passion. It's all a calling. But when I say that about what you can give, I want everybody to do this for me. Everybody look this way. It has been scientifically proven that this will make you feel better. Everybody good for that? I want everybody to do this for me. I want you to smile. Everybody smile. Some of you having trouble. Turn it upside down. Diana, I'm talking to you. Where are you at? Smile for me, Diana. I want to see if you can do it. There's a little bit. I'm going to call it a grimace. But you can smile, right? Do you know that's an offering to Jesus to come here, even no matter what's going on, that you can smile to somebody? You can offer a handshake, a hug, a pat on the back, a how you doing, a roll tide. I said that quiet, didn't I? Or did I say that out loud? It was in my mind. Right? Whatever it is, you can bring something. I mentioned it last week. If you're in line to grab a plate of food, guys, listen, I was raised, hopefully, to be a Southern gentleman, right? There's something about that Southern hospitality. My dad might literally whip me to death if he saw me take advantage of a woman or not treat with respect. And guys, if you're in line and you see a lady that's back there four spots, you've got my permission to say, ma'am, come up here. Get in front of me. I'll take the heat if somebody says something about you cutting in line. All right? Everybody with me on that? You can do that. You can give that to somebody. You don't have to give somebody money to give something or to lay an offering down to Jesus. And so this is what this is talking about, submitting to one another. And by the way, you could even do that with somebody that you despise. You say, man, I don't like that person. Well, how about this? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm gonna go off on a rabbit trail here for 10 seconds. Somebody start the clock. Don't start it now, as soon as I say this. When you look at somebody, they are the pinnacle of God's creation. They are the image bearer of God. So you better, when you submit to the reverence of Christ. That's for free, right? That person that you can't stand, that person that you despise, is the apple of God's eyes. Keep that in mind as you submit to one another. So back to today, all right? We read this passage. Paul's coming off this submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he goes, wives, submit to your husbands. Here's why I want to tell you the controversy around this verse. Because most people have done a poor job when they get to this passage and they want to say this. Wives, you need to submit to your husbands. And they stop right there. And if you're not careful, that sounds like a place when you get there of going back to the caveman days and this brute of a man just dragging his wife around, grunting and saying, you got to do what I'm telling you to do, right? You got to be quiet. You can't have an opinion. Let me tell you, if you have to miss the rest of it, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is not what Scripture is talking about when it's talking about a submissive wife. Do not leave this place and think that Keith is saying that you just got to do everything your husband says. That's not what this passage is talking about. So if you got to leave, check in later with the rest of it, okay? Everybody with me? Tracking so far? And you may be here this morning and say, Keith, I'm not even married, man. You're talking about this. Listen, we're doing this study in Scripture. I'm going to tell you even greater news. If you are dating somebody or you're not dating somebody or you're looking to one day be married, the foundation right here that if you enter into a covenant marriage relationship can be life-changing. If you take these steps right here, I'm telling you, Paul lays it out beautifully and then I believe speaks to the church as well in this. So the reason this verse is misunderstood is it's taken out of context, abused honestly at times, and misread. And then stopping at that one statement saying, wives, submit to your own husband. I want to tell you this right off. If you want to know our heart about women and even their role in the church, any lady here that is a believer in Jesus Christ that has a word that wants to share, they can come and grab this microphone and teach on a Sunday. We are not a place that says men only can do that. We believe that women are just as equal, not less than, not a lesser person, not weak, any of those things of know your role, be quiet, any of those things that could be tied to a submissive wife. It sounds so negative. Wives, submit to your husband, right? Like, I don't know about you. I like MMA. I like watching people fight it out. And one of the things that, like, is this deal where you watch somebody tap out, right? That's not the kind of submission that we're talking about. That wives, when you enter into this relationship with a man, that you all of a sudden got to tap out on your own ideals, your own dreams, your own visions, your own thoughts. You are your own person, but together perfectly as one. Here's what I want to tell you. If you're disagreeing with that and you say, well, I think men are greater than, I want to take you back to the very beginning, right? To the very beginning of human existence, I want to take you to the garden. I want to tell you, so much of our life makes more sense when you go back to the garden, because this is the way life was intended to be. Sin was not supposed to be a part of the plan, even though God knew it was going to happen. He wanted Eden. He wanted perfection. He wanted intimate relationship that sin did not hinder, okay? And listen to what he says. Genesis 1, verse 26, he said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Little bonus there. You've heard this before, I know, some of you haven't. "In our image" is believed to be this conversational thing between the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus didn't just pop on the scene one Christmas morning. He's always been. John 1, "In the beginning was the Word." So, "our image," Father, Son, Holy Spirit, "let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Listen to what he says. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." I want to tell you this. Not just physically, but men and women are very different, but I believe this with all my heart, they are the same. They are both equally image bearers of a holy God. He says it right here. If you debate it, you can come and argue and talk with me if you want to. We can talk all sorts of things, and that's fine, but I'm going to tell you with this one that you're going to need to argue that point with God, okay? He says it. "In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created him." Both equally image bearers of God. The best description I have ever heard of men and women being different but same in the idea that they are both image bearers of God is from a man named John Eldridge. John Eldridge uses this illustration that I think is perfectly, there's no reason for me to come up with another one. But I want you to go back to your childhood, all right? Any guys here, you remember your first bike, your first bicycle, right? Was it enough just to ride the bicycle? Like, I mean, that became old after a while. After you learned how to pedal, after you learned how to do that, I don't know about you. Some of you are too young to remember a guy named Evel Knievel. But, like, you wanted to build stuff and jump off of it. You wanted to build a dirt mound to jump off. You wanted to build a ramp out of plywood. Like, anybody ever seen Napoleon Dynamite, right? Like, it doesn't always work out, right? Lucky, right? You sometimes didn't build a ramp good, and it works out bad. But you seek this adventure. I just want to tell you, this isn't the same in every case. I understand that. I understand it can be more often than not. But hang with me on this. If you are going to build a ramp, who are you going to? You going to dad or you going to mom? I understand some didn't have a good relationship with one parent or the other. But more than likely, which parent are you going to? Mom is going to shut that down. No, you'll get hurt, right? Don't do that, right? I mean, Caroline, I hate to tell you all the stuff we try to do with Gideon when we're out at the hunting club, me and Jesse. Like, we don't tell your mom about it. No, I'm kidding. It's not that bad. But that's what dads do, right? They're the crazy one. They're the ones that, I think we can jump it. Let's build it higher, right? Like, all of these things, all right? Inevitably, when that happens, like, every guy has done this. Every guy has tried to jump something, go off something, do something too wild, too adventurous, push the envelope a little too far. And what happens? They get hurt, right? I want to give you the same example. You build the ramp. You jump off the bike, and it lands horribly. You crash. You're bleeding. Who's the kid more times than not going to go to, dad or mom? Mom. What's dad going to say? Rub some dirt on it, man. You'll be all right. Quit crying. You know, like, you get it, right? But what's mom going to do? Tender, loving. Like, you ever remember, like, mom, like, I grew up with a thing called Mercurochrome. Anybody remember that? My dad still believes it. Believes if you could drink it, it would cure cancer. And not the clear stuff. He will not have it. He hunts till he finds the orange. He's got a thing on his arm, and it's like glowing fluorescent orange. There's no telling what's in that stuff, but he believes in it. He swears by it. I remember as a kid, my mom just, I got a scar right here. It's a bad skateboard accident. I come down a hill. If you're used to, like, skateboards, they got trucks on them is what they call them with wheels. Trucks got super loose. It was too big a heel, man. I bit it. Now I got this scar. And I remember mom, you know, even like, man, you put the peroxide on there, it burns. What does a mom do most of the time? She'll blow on it, right? Like, I'm sorry, baby. Dad's like, what a wimp, right? All right, so if we take that understanding, though, if we take that simple earthly understanding and we take it to image bearers of God, here's what it tells me. He created us very differently, but yet the same, to be an image bearer, a holy image bearer of a holy God. And so here's what it tells me about my Father in heaven. He is wild. He is adventurous. There's battles to fight, right? Like, all of these things, there's adventure to be had. I think he's one that would be like, I think we can get the ramp a little higher, right? Like, push yourself. I think it's good to have that. But how many of you have been there when you've messed up, you've sinned, you feel like you're at your lowest? Do you not feel the tenderness, the compassion of the Father saying, it's okay, lean back. Just lean into me and let's just talk about this a while. Most guys aren't good with that, right? It's a very motherly thing. And so you see both perfectly represented as image bearers of God. So every quality that we see in men and every quality that we see in women is perfectly pointing back to this is a representation of God. Women, I want you to know this. You are loved, you are respected, and you are not less than. If somebody has told you that, I'm going to give you a Greek word. They're full of crap. And I said that nicely, right? You are equally an image bearer of a holy God. And it's time you hear that. Some of you maybe have never heard that, and it's news to you, and thought, well, I thought even in the church I was supposed to be less than. I don't understand how we get it twisted. I know there's certain roles and certain things where, you know, there's this call of a man to lead his family and to lead in church and all that. I get all of that. But you are equally an image bearer of God. You've heard it said about every good man, right? Everybody heard that saying? That there's a good woman behind him telling him that he did it wrong? No, I mean, I'm just kidding. Don't say that. Every man, there is a good woman. Like, my wife's the best. Y'all can hunt for the best. You ain't found her. Like, I got her. Sorry. But you can get second best. But she is, man. Like, we have been together so long that we work off each other so well. It is a team. But let me tell you this. You know it. You see her serve. She is not less than. In fact, I'm going to go on and put her on the other side. She's better than, right? I try to measure up. And that's how it's supposed to work, that we come together, that there is this partnership between a father and a mother, a husband and a wife. Now, I want to tell you this before you get there and say, man, if you're a lady, listen, I think a pastor, when he gets to this verse and it starts with wives submit to their husband, if they're not lying a little bit and say, man, I'm a little nervous about this one, right? I don't want you to leave this place and you say, well, you said men are about adventure and about battle. I'll go on an adventure. It's found in us all, right? Men, if we dig deep enough, there's that tenderness and compassion that we don't let show a lot of times. We need to be reminded that we have that capability in us, just like it is for ladies on the other things. Everybody with me on that? Making sense? Tracking? It isn't solo. It is a team. In fact, I want to tell you this, that passage that we just read in Genesis, I think God saw real quick, because he says this, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, here's what I don't think that means. I don't think that it was never the plan for women. I don't think God created us and said, oh man, they're going to mess this up. I got to send a woman. Always the plan. But I think it's a reminder for us to remember, you're not good to be alone. There are qualities in a woman that are qualities from me. They are image bearers of me. And perfectly together, you can be a better team. In fact, he literally quotes Genesis 2:24. I want you to go back and look in verse 31 in chapter 5. Paul's very familiar with the Old Testament. In fact, he's got a lot of the law memorized. But he goes to Genesis 2:24 when he gets to verse 31. In this letter, he says, word for word, Genesis. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I've done many weddings, almost every one of them, my daughter included. I get to this place and I remind them that they too are one, perfectly together, united, and a stronger team than they are solo, especially when kids come into the mix. Kids need their dad, right? I want to go on a side note here. If you're a dad and you're not involved in your children's life, start today. Moms, they need you. If you're not involved in your child's life, start today. You may say, well, there is irreparable damage. You don't know all I've done. I know this. You can start with, I'm sorry. You can start with mailing that check you need to mail. You can start with some monetary goods, some physical goods that you could take. You could start with a letter explaining yourself. You could start with all myriad of things, of just simple gestures of being back involved, building that bridge, repairing that bridge one step at a time. They need you in their life. And so they shall be one. I think, too, where he gets here and he says, the two shall be one. He throws this in of this submission thing about wives, but he also says everybody loves their own body. Like everybody doesn't want to inflict harm, most people, right? And he's saying just like you would care for your own body, that you should care for one another. Why? Because you now are one. You're togetherness. You are a team. There is no more her and you. If you're a guy, you're together. You're one, complete, perfectly being image bearers of God. Now, I want to tell you, I want to confess something. There is so much in these verses that it is hard to cover in one week. And so I know I probably won't do a good job of covering everything, but I want to stop right here and I want to just end with why I believe this verse is taken so out of context, so misunderstood, so misquoted, and so divisive. You started a verse like, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, and a lot of people stop right there. Especially predominantly men who teach, they love this part. Like, there's this part, you just need to do what your husband says. That's the spin I've heard on this a lot of times, and I'm telling you, it's wrong. That's wrong. Because I want you to go further into context and listen to verse 25. Husbands, you're not left out of this, right? There is a call for you, a mandate, a command. Husbands, love your wives. You stop right there and say, man, I love my wife. I do. I said I do. What else does she want from me, right? Like, I provide. What else does she want? Well, I'll tell you what else they want. It's for you to follow the command seriously that says this. Not only to love your wives, you can put any earthly definition on love you want to, and it falls short of the true meaning of love that is empowered in all of us if we believe the Spirit of God, where there is first love, joy, peace, patience, all of these things. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Come on now. So what are you telling me? I'm telling you this. Not just physically. I think most men here have enough bravado and guts about themselves that they would say, if it came down to it, I'd take a bullet for my wife. I would for mine. By the way, I would for yours. Like if somebody was out here and there's a lady about to be killed, some of you guys would probably let it happen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's a horrible joke. Hopefully anybody, right? But especially a lady, I'm going to step in front. Like I would hope that's within me. I for sure would for my wife. Everybody would do that physically, but how about emotionally? How about spiritually laying down your life and saying, you know what, not my interests, but hers. Philippians 2, not having the attitude, the understanding like God, right? That Jesus came and he thought of others above himself. Not that he showed equality with God, but he humbled himself. Says to the point of death, even death on a cross. And he says here, like that. So the guys that skate over this and say, wives, submit to your husband. Do everything your husband says they need to do. They fall so short when they get to this part and kind of gloss over and realize that husbands have this calling to love your wives like Christ loved the church. Doesn't mean we'll be perfect. We're not. We're going to make mistakes. But guys, do you know even in your apologies and the way you serve through that, you can love your wives like Christ loved the church? A little side note here. If you want a wife that is a partner and a helper, as Genesis says, not that her opinion is not valued, but there may be these moments that come down that somebody has to make a decision for the family. If we believe that the husband is the leader of the family, and I do believe there is this calling for that, doesn't mean that the other opinion is not valued, not walked with, not partnership. But if there's this moment where it comes down to, guys, if you want a wife that is submissive to that and says, you know what, I trust you. I trust you. I'm willing to go with you on this. Then you better, by God's help, be a husband that loves your wife like Christ loves the church. If you're not doing that, don't expect the other. Just straight up. So here's what this is a call is. It's a call for women to be women. It's a call for men to be men, to be partnership with one another, and to be image bearers of a holy God. Come on, understand, it's not a less than. Everybody's equal on this thing. It's just different roles, different personalities, but yet the same. I want you to again remember verse 21 last week, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That means even when husband and wife are arguing, which happens, right? I know it happens at some of y'all's places, never does at ours. Right, Jamie? Amen. But some of y'all's, maybe it happens. That's a joke, by the way. Bad one, but it happens, right, at our place. We argue. But if we would submit to one another out of reverence for Christ in those situations, man, it becomes a little easier. It becomes a little easier to get past those moments. So here's what I want to tell you that, guys, you may have never heard from this passage. Because really, when you read this, it's the same. There is this call for wives to submit to their husbands. But can I tell you, I believe something is equally there. I think it's equally there for husbands to submit to their wives. Doesn't mean being henpecked. It doesn't mean not having your own personality, your own leadership, your own, all of these things. But let me ask you this. How much more submissive can you be as a man to lay down your life for your wife? Doesn't get much more submissive than that. So can I tell you what I see in this passage, and you can fight me on this if you want. I ain't been in a fight lately, so maybe we need to duke it out. Maybe I need to get that out of my system. I don't know. All right, let's go. Praise the Lord on that. I didn't think I'd get that, but I'm glad, Philip. Thank you. I think Paul is going from a place of saying in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He's saying, wives, submit to your husbands. And I truly believe he's saying, husbands, submit to your wives. I think it's truly equal submission to one another, serving one another as Christ served and loved the church. And I believe it gets into the place where he's talking about us being one, and I believe it overwhelms Paul. Listen to what he says. After he comes out of verse 31, I'll finish with this. A man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast, they'll become one. But listen to what he says in verse 32. This mystery is profound. Paul gets to a place a lot of times in Scripture where he says this, like, how unsearchable the mind of God. I can't figure this thing out. This is where I'm being led by the Spirit, but heck if I know. I think that's what Paul, like, I can't figure it out. Like, we struggle wrapping our brains around this partnership and becoming one and submitting to one another, being actually one, the two come together and being one. And then he closes with this. this mystery is profound, but I'm also saying this, that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I want you to know the burden here is not on the wives to solely submit. The burden here is not solely on the man to love his wife as Christ loved the church. It's both. It's equal. Both image bearers of God, both working in unison together, both in spirit and truth, walking this thing out in love. All of these things that we've read in Ephesians, he's building to this crescendo, right? Where it's like this thing of like, we got to come together. We got to be one. That's all of Ephesians, to be one, to walk unified. And where else can the world see it than a husband and wife that are unified, that a wife is submissive and a husband is loving like Christ loved the church? That's an unstoppable force that bears the image of a holy God. Now here's what I want to close with. I want to take it back to verse 21 and say this. Husbands, wives, men, women, brother, sister, church member, lost person that is here. If we lived our life where we submitted to one another out of love, how much better would this place be? I want you to look around. I think Jesus was this revolutionary guy that entered into human history. He was already, you know, in existence. We know this. But he enters into human history and he changes the world so much so that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about his message of love, hope, acceptance, repentance, belief, faith, compassion, tenderness, mercy, all of these things. He wound up gathering a bigger crowd, but do you know he started with 12 ragtag group of guys? And if you read, one of them didn't turn out so well, right? Look around, man. Like Evangel Homeschool Group, like I'm not picking on you, but what if you took that same thing and said, I'm going to leave out of here and I'm going to submit to people and walk in love and we're going to be one? It'd change your homeschool group. What if we leave this place and wherever we go, if we go to lunch somewhere, if we walk down the street, we encounter somebody, we encounter them with love and submission, say, you know what, I got plans today, but man, I'm going to submit and love somebody like Jesus. It's revolutionary. You see, we get fired up on all kinds of causes that we can say, man, I'll get behind that. I'll start a revolution. I'll do this or I'll do that, or I got my political leanings. I got this or that. All of that's too small a kingdom, man. You do something like this, where you arm yourself when you leave these gates with a basin and a towel, and you say, man, whoever I come in contact with, whether I like them or not, I'm going to serve and submit out of reverence to Christ. That, my friend, is truly revolutionary. So I want to ask you this question before I pray. Who's in? Who wants to live like that? Amen? Let's do it together. Let's pray. Father, first I just pray this. If someone's here today and they don't know you, I've said it the last few weeks. I believe trying to do this on our own, I just want to take the pressure off somebody that's saying, man, I got to do this, this, and this, and all the I gotta's, and I'm not measuring up or that. If they're going to do it on their own strength, they might as well stay here and bang their head against Norton's brick wall for the rest of eternity. It won't happen. But to the individual that's here that has never met you, if they would bow their knee in their heart and just say, Jesus, I need you. I want your spirit to fill me like I hear about weeks after on end out here. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want your spirit to fill me. What is not natural can become the supernatural, and we can do all things through you who strengthens us. Can happen. It can happen. If we are walking and operating and listening to you, Father, then real change can happen. Start with us. Start on the inside. If we don't know you, that today would be that day. If we do know you, that we would lay down our pride as an offering. We would lay down our, I got it all figured out. We would lay down our going ahead and doing something on our own and not praying about it and praying afterwards. But we would truly try our best to walk in love, submitting to all that we come across, man, woman, boy, and girl, out of reverence for you, then that is truly revolutionary. That can bring revival. It can change our city, our county, our state, our nation, and our world. You did it with a ragtag group of 12 that grew. We're still talking about it today. Jesus, when you left, you said to your followers, even greater things you'll do than I did. I truly believe that's because the message we have not just raises people physically from the dead. While we can see all kind of miracles, we can see healing, we can see all these things, those are wonderful. But all of those still leave to a grave. But the message that we have of hope, love, grace, mercy, and compassion of Jesus gives people new life and gives them a life that will go on forever, eternity with you. And so let us live in such a way that when we leave this place, it is unmistakable that we have been changed by you and that we operate on a different standard than the world. We're not looking out for ourselves, but we, like Paul has said verse after verse here lately, submit to one another out of reverence of you, Jesus. We look at every individual as your creation, the apple of your eye, the image bearer of you, God, and that we serve them like we would serve you. Help us in that. We need you. It is not natural, but we are grateful we have your Spirit and that the supernatural becomes possible. Jesus, we love you. We need you. If someone doesn't know you today, pray that they find you today. If we know you, that we just walk a step closer. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We pray it in your name. Amen.